are children of Abraham. I'm in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, "And thee shall all nations be blessed, so they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." What a wonderful passage this is. What a wonderful book the Bible is, isn't it? And so I trust that you enjoy reading it and are studying it and love reading it like I do. And even perhaps when you're really, really busy, you still need to get up and read the Word of God and allow it to change our lives. So we see number one, page one, the alarming compromise, the awakened conscience, and Abraham's children. We saw last time accounted faith. It wasn't by doing works. It was by being his faith was accounted righteous, speaking of Abraham. And then number seven, verse seven, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." Now question, I ask you there, Abraham's physical children are, who are Abraham's physical children? Let me just ask you that question. Okay, as well as also the Israelite nation, Ishmaelites, physical children. But now, question 15, when did the Israelites start be known as Jews? When the Israelites become Jews? Okay. Oh, it's actually Jewish. Called Jews would be after the captivity. Yes, after captivity. I could have said it wrong as well. The captivity, 605 to 535 BC. After that point in time, then Judaism sort of kicked in, if you want to call it that way. Heading to the silent years, and it became known as Jews. Now, Abraham's spiritual children are all of us as believers. Yes. Question 15b, are you a spiritual child of Abraham? And that's something for you to ask. If you are a born-again Christian, you are a spiritual child. Listen to Romans chapter 2, verse 28 of Romans. "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." So you are a spiritual child of Abraham as a Christian. So he's really, really more importantly, even than being the father of the Israelite nation, he's the father of us spiritually. I think that's the singular greatest thing, would be he is really the spiritual father of all believers. Now, circumcision was just an external physical act that had no spiritual work of justification. Some have tried to take baptism in our era and equate that with circumcision in the past era. This is the we're new entity, the church. The circumcision, even for Abraham, did not, he was justified by faith long before, 13 or 14 years before circumcision and 500 years before the law. And so Abraham was certainly not justified by keeping the law, although the rabbis really wanted Abraham to be justified by keeping the law. So they're keeping the law, but also say they're children of Abraham. It was by faith. And really, the Jewish people, were question 15c, still on page 1, were the Jews with no faith spiritual children of Abraham simply because they were Jews? They were not spiritual children of Abraham simply because they were Jews or Israelite nation. There are some today who, would promote that the idea that Jewish people today even do not need to go into the church, but they're going to be carried through and they're separated out. I take today in the church age, you need to... Well, let me ask you, who was the early church? It was comprised almost singularly of Jews. It's the same church of that era, and the early church, the same church we have today. And so that would be a mistake, I believe, especially for Jewish people to believe that they're somehow safe under God's protection, even in the church age, and they're going to wait and just carry on. And nothing to take, something certainly not to take a chance on, if you would. Martin Luther said this, "This unspeakable gift therefore excelleth all reason, that God doth account and acknowledge him for righteous without works, which embraceth his Son by faith alone, who was sent into the world, was born, suffered, and was crucified for us." What a marvelous thing, he says, that we are saved by faith alone without works. And aren't you glad? When would you know if we were doing works? When would you be satisfied you've done enough? When is it? There's no like 500 pounds of works. When you get all that 500, and every single work you're going to add some ounces or add a pound, you know. If you give, the pastor a new bass boat, it's probably like a 50-pound thing to put in your thing there. And a 500-pound, once you get to, there's nothing like that because it doesn't work. You receive him by grace through faith. And what about the person who's saved on their deathbed? If you're saved by works, they have no hope. If you're saved by works, and you're saved and you're, before your last three breaths, you're saved right then. And there are some people saved on their deathbed. There are. They have no, it doesn't work that way. And the Jews, by the way, have a spectacular future. I'm not a preterist, believing that everything happened at 70 AD. The Jews, the church has replaced Israel. I do not hold for that for a moment, personally. I'm reading from Romans 11:1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. God has a great plan for Israel. The millennial kingdom, I really believe, is going to be a lot about Israel and how they're going to serve the Lord. And Israel's going to be numero uno. We're going to be under that somewhere. But we'll be helping God. But I think Israel is really going to be the primary race, if you would, during the millennial kingdom. Personal viewpoint there. Acknowledging, and 3 and 8 and 9, then acknowledging, Donald Campbell said, it should not be overlooked that Paul referred to Scripture speaking as though God were speaking, so it can be rightly affirmed that what the Bible says, God says. Back over here, reading the verses now in 3:8. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful believing Abraham. Question number 16. I think I'm on page 2 now, I believe. Where do we find works as part of the Christians being accounted righteous? It's nowhere. Works aren't a part of it, and we understand that. Good news means good news for mankind. Foreseeing there would be the idea of speaking of time or looking forward to as beforehand. Preach the gospel. I like this. One man said this. To spread good news in advance of it actually coming to pass. The good news given to Abraham, and even in the Garden of Eden, we had the promise in 3:15 of the seed that would crush the serpent's head. In verse 8, we find it is mentioned the heathen, but we may not want, but we're, that would be us, the heathen through faith. Heathen are, is the same, Henry Morris says, is the same as nations or Gentiles, question 17. God's word as given to Abraham, therefore, indicated that all nations would be justified by faith. It's the same. Isn't God marvelous? It's not like you have a certain way here and a certain way there and a certain way for that people and for this people. It's the same. The Savior came and died, but once for mankind. We're all made of one blood. This idea, can I tell you that racism is all man-made? There are other different nationalities, but this idea there's one race, the human race, different nationalities, yes, but there is but one race. It would be Acts chapter 17, 26. Question 18. Now, what is the extent of shall all nations be blessed? I think salvation is offered to whoever you hear the gospel. And like when they dropped the transistor radios in the jungle a few decades ago, and when the missionaries arrived, others had already received Christ as Savior, having heard the gospel over the radio and believed it and understood it and received Christ. It's available to all people. So that's all nations are blessed because, and by the way, who came through Abraham's lineage? It was the Christ. So we are blessed by Abraham and his descendants, brought in the divine love, grace, and mercy Christ bestows on all. And on page 7, or still on page 2, I'm sorry, all nations will be justified by faith. That's your little blank there. Question 18, now what is the extent? We already covered that one. Let's go on to the new lesson now. Is the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Verse 10 then, if you're following along still, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, what is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of law to do them. So now a curse, we would say, would be a divine judgment that brings the sentence of condemnation. There are some things in the Bible that were cursed. We teasingly say sometimes, well, I think my life is cursed today because so many negative things have happened. I say I'm under the black cloud. It's sort of settled over my life, and it's raining every day. It's like the black cloud of gloom and doom. I've said that before. The Galatians, though, were suddenly enamored with keeping the law. Remember the first missionary journey? Can you name me a city that was on Paul's first missionary journey? Can you name me two? Can you name me three? Antioch and Derby. Iconium was three. Can you name me four? Lystra. There we go. Very good. All four. So Paul had gone to these four cities in Asia Minor, the southern part, and he had preached the gospel, salvation by grace through faith. They had received Christ as Savior. The church had gotten started. And then we're going to call them the bad guys because they were teaching heresy. They were teaching a false doctrine that Judaism is still in force, and you must put yourself under the law. You must be circumcised Gentiles to become a Christian, and not so. If you hold your finger there, look at Deuteronomy. This idea of hanging on a tree and being accursed goes all the way back to Deuteronomy 27, 26. Deuteronomy 27, 26. There are this whole, from starting at 13, etc., all the way down through. You look at 15, cursed be the man, etc. 16, cursed be he that setteth light by his father and mother. And all people shall say, amen. Cursed be all these different things. This is where this idea of being cursed, he that hangeth on a tree, etc. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all people shall say, amen. 28, 67. 28:67, also confer all the way down through there. And in the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even. And in that evening thou shalt say, would God it were morning, for the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see, etc., etc., etc. You can read all down through there. This is the idea of cursing and curse under the law. And so we find it. Those who hung on a tree, I didn't find a verse exactly verse in there, but those who hung on a tree were known to be cursed. So we see, first of all, then, the works in verse 10, 4. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. We just read that from 27, 26. So taking that verse at face value, which were literal interpretation, as many as you have the works of the law are under the law, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in, what's that next word, all things. It wasn't like, well, I'm going to do a little bit of that, and I'm going to take this. No, it was like, they had to keep the whole law. If you're going to keep the whole law, you can't just like hit it, hit and miss. You've got to keep the whole law. Robert Grimacki says this, the connective four joins this section to the preceding two. Both the Galatians and Abraham had experiences of justification by faith, for it was impossible for them to have gained the righteousness of God by legalistic works. And so the people of Galatia, they're wanting to get on the work bandwagon. And Paul comes and says, no, it is still salvation by grace through faith. And so considering now verse 1, or question 1, the previous verses, could the religious leaders count on salvation because of their lineage? No, they cannot. Question 2, can anyone keep the whole law? No, they cannot. James chapter 2, verse 10, Hebrews, James 2, verse 10, can anyone keep the entire law? The question, of course, the answer other than Jesus is no. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of what? All. You're guilty of all. Just one time. How was Abraham declared righteous? By faith, 14 years before circumcision, 500 years before the Mosaic law, he was declared righteous by his faith. Guilty of all. I found this illustration, I think it was yesterday. You say, I don't understand that. Well, suppose, guilty of all, you were hanging over a fire by a forged chain of steel. It had 9 links of forged steel and 1 of crepe paper. How safe would you feel? It doesn't make any difference if 1 link breaks or all 10 break. You're going in the fire. Because God demands perfection. And so, whether you take 1, or they're all of crepe paper, or there are 9,999 are all steel, but 1 plastic one or one whatever, paper one, that's all it takes. So if you break one, you are guilty of all. Page 3, not only the works, but also there is the word. Back over to Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things. Continueth not, it means in the fact that those who trust in the works of the law are obligated to keep all things. And by the way, when you start doing that, when you say, I'm going to put myself under the law, and there are a lot of groups who today want to add, I'm going to be under the law, I'm going to do that, I'm going to keep this Seventh-day Adventist, I'm going to put myself under the law, and that's how I'm going to earn my way or keep my way. You've got to do it all. It's not like I'm going to take half of them or a quarter of them. We need to do them all. Continue in all things perfectly. It's not going to become a salvation for them. It's going to become a curse for them. Word written there in chapter 3, verse 10, means the permanence of this writing. It underscores the authority of what is written. It is written. It is settled. It's written in stone, if you would. You want to call it that? They're going to be cursed under the law. You can't do it. Spurgeon says, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Even as a shorter catechism puts it, they have lost communion with God, are under his wrath and curse, and so are made liable to all the miseries of this life, to death itself, and to the pains of hell forever. Dare you sleep tonight under the curse? Will you wake tomorrow or go forth to your business under the curse? Can you sport and laugh and frolic under the curse? End quote. It's a significant penalty. I was talking to a man just yesterday, and we're talking about what this means, Baptist means, etc., and what will people want to see when they get to heaven, and we talk about, I see my sister, my mom will see my dad, etc. I think we'll know as we're known. That was the whole purpose, yes. He said, well, I said, I'm hope I can get there. I said, no, you can know that you're on your way to heaven. Well, I think I've got my things in order, and he didn't want to hear the rest. If we could say, listen, do you know what you are risking by not being prepared? Because this is going to be a terrible thing. It was even mentioned that he's going to be down there and he's going to show people, he's going to tell people, I knew you were going to be, or something like, it had to be at the door, welcoming people, telling them, I knew he was going to be here, or I didn't think you were going to be here, and things like that. I believe personally that you'll be alone in darkness and pain for eternity. I remember in McGoffin County, the idea was, well, we're going to have one big drinking party down in hell. You're just not going to have any drink probably at all. And all those things that you lusted for and wanted to do as a sinner here on earth, I think you're going to lust and want to do those even more and never, ever be satisfied. It is going to be such a terrible, terrible place. But the good news, you don't have to go. Paul is sort of paraphrasing here. How about that, Galatians? Did your Judaizing friends tell you about that? You want to put yourself under the law? Then make sure you keep it all. Every jot and tittle of it. Every verse, every line, every duty, every demand, every rule, right, ritual, requirement. Don't leave out one single one for a single moment. Or the curse of the law will be upon you. There are no excuses and there are no exceptions. Now question 13a, I think it is. Do the Jews today, can they keep the Mosaic law? Now remember, if you think back to when it was given, they were in a rural area, and they were a migrating, if you will, traveling people, and lived in tents. A lot different culture. Also, in that era, they could let the Goyim, Gentiles, could do the work on Sunday, and they could still keep the law. Today, however, you live in a big city, and you're a Jewish person. You have to have electricity, has to be on. The other things have to be going on. There has to be public utilities, policemen, electricity supply, telephone services, military attendance. All these things in Israel have to be done on what? On the Sabbath day. So what they have capitulated is this: non-religious Jews break the Sabbath on behalf of the religious Jews. But really, none of us can keep... That was for a different era. Why are we taking something from a different era and bringing it into our culture and our era? It's different. And God gave that for a specific purpose. We have been set free from that. Been set free from that. The law looks into doing. The difference between the law looks us into doing. The law locks us into doing. The difference between faith and the law is, in faith, it focuses on what God does for man. That's faith. And the law is what man does for God. But it has already been done. Already been done. Paul said in 2:19. Same book 2:19. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Secondly, there's the clarity of language, and there's the pursuit in verse 11. Verse 11:3, 11, it says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. The pursuit. To the best of one's ability, you can keep looking. Matter of fact, if you and I were to stand next to the rich young ruler who came to Christ, we would probably pale in comparison. He probably, outwardly, morally, was a great person. In our society, he might have been upheld as a very moral individual and should be a lot applauded and lauded for all these things. But yet it wasn't that, because he did not want to go by faith, did not want to give up all that he had. I like what Vernon McGee, who is quite plain spoken sometimes, he says, suppose I kept all the laws in Pasadena, California, my home city, for 20 years. Kept them for 20 years. Then I wait at my house for the officials of Pasadena to come and present me with a medal for keeping all those laws for 20 years. Let me tell you, they give no medals for keeping the law of Pasadena. If I had kept every law for 20 years and then stole something or broke a speeding law, I would be arrested. You see, the law does not reward you. It does not give you life. The law penalizes you. Faith, my friend, gives you something. It gives you life. It's the law is not here to save us. The law is to condemn us. Christ came to save us. Question 5, in this verse, who determines what is and is not acceptable when it comes to obtaining salvation? And it is God. It is His. At different times we've played games, and I like to change the rules to benefit me sometimes. That's probably not fair to do it that way. But if you're making a game up, whoever made the Perquacky game, it was their idea to put these little... have you ever played Perquacky? Anybody ever played Perquacky? It's a pretty good game. You get 10 cubes, and you get all these letters, and then you got 3 minutes to make all the words you can. You get 5 threes, 5 fours, 5 fives, 5 sixes, 5 sevens, etc. And so there's rules in there. How long you can play the game, etc. Because they made the game, so they can make the rules, right? Yes, they can. Jesus came to die and offer Himself. He made us, and then He redeemed us as well. So the principle, that was the pursuit. And then we get number 11b, we have the principle. A quotation from Habakkuk, if you want to turn over to Habakkuk, if you can find it there. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. I've got confidence in you. Toward the back of the Old Testament, 2, verse 4. It is found this phrase, or similar phrase, 4 times in the Bible. Habakkuk, Romans 1, Hebrews 10, and Galatians chapter 3. Habakkuk 2, 4 says for us here, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. So Habakkuk was so betwixt, so in angst, because he realized that his people were deserving of being captured, the southern kingdom deserved of being captured, and Babylon was coming. But the thing is, Babylon's worse than us. Why is it you're allowing a worse than us people to beat up on us and take us captive? Why is that? And the just shall live by faith. Trust me. Isn't that hard sometimes? Trust me. I found since I preached that message Sunday night on fear, I told my wife, was it yesterday? I said, I should have known after having preached that message on fear. They're going, when a pastor preaches something, it's like the Lord's going to say, okay. That's why I don't preach on Job. So I haven't preached on Job yet. So maybe someday. But like the pastor goes through different things as well. And so that's part of it. But trust, put your whole faith. It was like John Patton was a missionary, outstanding missionary, South Seas. And he could not come up, he's translating the Bible into the native language there in the island. He could not come up with a word for faith. One day, one of the natives came in, was running really hard, and flopped himself in one of Mr. Patton's chairs. And he said, it's good to rest my whole weight on this chair. Voila, that's it, he said. I'll translate faith as resting one's whole weight on God. I like that. Resting my whole weight. I'll put 2/3 down and take a third back with me. We should put it all, right, Mr. Womack? We should put it all there. Amen. A day by day, put it all there. Hourly, moment by moment, whatever it takes, put it there. And to live, just to live by faith, looks forward really to the future, not really contrast between faith and unbelief, but between the doom of the unbeliever and the prospect of the believer of living forever with God, the just shall live by faith. We're going to live by faith because we put our faith and trust in God. We're also to live, I think, moment by moment and by our faith. So Paul's struggling. The Judaizers come in. Galatians have fallen prey to that. And they're thinking, I'm going to go back to the law. You can't. can't. For by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. You can't mix them together. It's like trying to take water and salt, and you put salt in there, and you ruin the water. Who wants to drink salty? It doesn't slake your thirst. Now, you can get away with making pancakes. I was in a rush making pancakes today. I had two eggs in my hand, and I was trying to get the other eggs out of the refrigerator, and I think I really messed up my five or six eggs tonight, and I broke them, and okay. I kept my cool pretty good, I think, pretty good. So anyway, the reason I said all that was I guessed it. It said six tablespoons. What's that? So I guessed it turned out fairly good anyway. And so the salt, I said, okay, that's good enough. And baking powder, and so there we go. And so it was somewhat right, although the batter was really runny. But we can't mix. You can get away with making pancakes and not exact up on the things. You can't get away with that for salvation. You can't mix faith and works. The pursuit, the principle, the particulars in verse 12 as well. Over to verse 12, it says for us here, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. The law is not of faith. The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. It's all about doing. The law says we must do this, do that. Faith is it's done. We trust in Christ. We understand that. Question 6. Why do some people today still attempt to keep some and most of the Mosaic law? They want to do something. I don't want to be beholden to you. I don't want to owe you my entire life and my eternity. We do, and we should enjoy it. We have been redeemed by God's marvelous grace. One guy, John Phillips, was serving in northern Canada. It would get like 55 degrees below zero in the wintertime. And his furnace would run for months on end, all the time. And so this Seventh-day Adventist was trying to get him to convert over to Seventh-day Adventism by keeping the law. And he said, sir, what about this verse? You shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations on the Sabbath day. How are you going to do that for a whole day with not having a fire? Or how about this? Your suit, sir. Thou shalt not wear a garment of divers sorts as of woolen and linen together. If you're keeping the law, you can't wear what you got on. And how about this? Thou shalt make thee fringes upon the four corners of thy vesture wherewith thou coverest thyself. I don't see any fringes on your clothes, sir. There's three things right there you're not keeping the law. So no, I'm not going to sign on with you keeping the law. There's the cost of his love, and the person there is found in 13a, the beginning of 13. Christ hath redeemed us. Who is the one? It is Jesus alone. Redeemed means to buy a slave's freedom. I read the story about, true story about an uncle, and his nephew was swimming in the ocean. A shark came up and bit him so hard, bit his leg off. The uncle grabbed a baseball bat and beat the shark over the head until the shark dropped the leg. He grabbed the leg, picked up his nephew, and rushed him to the hospital, and they sewed his leg back on, and he could walk again. It's amazing. It's a picture of the redeeming, winning back what was lost. He made us, and then he defeated death. And now has saved us by his marvelous grace. What an amazing thing it is. The penalty in 13b says there, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The law brings a curse. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Hanging on a tree was not, you weren't hung on a tree really because you were cursed. If you were terrible, they would kill you, and then they would put you on a tree because it was a terrible thing to have your body on a tree. It was like a desecration. I remember they would often take the bodies down before nightfall, but that was, if your body, after you died, was hung up on a tree. He's like, that was like the most disrespect. You were a terrible person. Christ died for us, became a curse for us. The criminal who was executed usually by stoning was then tied to a post, a type of tree, where his body was hung until sunset. It was not that the person became cursed by hanging on a tree, but that he was hanged on a tree because he was cursed. Jesus did not become a curse in that regard because he was crucified. But he was crucified because he was cursed and taking the full sin for the world upon himself. He, his own self, bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. by whose stripes you were healed. The Roman orator Circio said regarding hanging, he said, not only let the cross be absent from the person of Roman citizens, but in every name from their thoughts, eyes, and ears. That's how heinous, perhaps the most worst type of execution ever devised by man was the cross. And then there's the promise in verse 14 that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Who brings the blessing? Question 8, that is Christ brings it to us. And question 9, how does one receive the promises? Through faith. Baptism of the Spirit, indwelling of the Spirit, sealing of the Spirit, the earnest of the Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit. Why would you pass all that up to, well, you know, I've got to only walk so far. I've got to eat these foods. I've got to be circumcised. I've got to keep the Sabbath. I've got to do all this. 613. Why would you keep that for the Spirit living in us? We're so blessed. The Spirit came on. He doesn't give it by measure. The Spirit, Christ did not get it by measure. In the Old Testament, by measure, yes, the Spirit came on for certain activities, but Christ had the fullness of the Spirit. And so he came, gave his life, redeemed us back. Not only he's that little story about the boy had a little sailboat, and he had to sell it. And so he had made the boat, had to sell it, and then he had to go back and buy it from the place again. So he said, I bought you twice. I made you, and then I had to buy you. And that's what he has done for us. He redeemed us. We should rejoice. Let's pray together. Lord, we are thankful for the redemption of Christ. We are thankful for Christ who came. And Lord, I am so thankful that it's not of works, because I would never know when I had ever done enough. But it's by faith, by grace through faith. Lord, thank you for the faith to trust you. May we live that our lives the rest of this week. May people see Jesus in us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.